Welcome to episode 9 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you have a Bible-related question that you would like considered for a future episode, you can email me your question at pastorstevendbc@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor, S-T-E-V-E-N, D-B-C, at gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to continue our series of podcasts that are related to angelology, or the doctrine of angels. And I've mentioned this in the two previous episodes, episode 7 and episode 8, that most of what we know comes from pop culture in regards to angels. However, in this series of podcast, we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about angels. So grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now in today's podcast, we're going to be specifically looking at the ministry of angels. In other words, what do angels do? So far in the series, we've looked at such things as the existence of angels. We've also seen that they are created beings. They are also distinct from humans. We've seen that they're innumerable, so we cannot count them. And we've seen other things such as that they are spirit beings. So they're clearly distinct from humans, although at times there are some similarities in things they do. But we're going to be looking at what actually do angels do in terms of ministry in relation to God, meaning God the Father, and then Jesus, and then to unbelievers, and then lastly to believers. Before we do that, let me read a quote from Charles Ryrie. Basically and essentially, good angels are servants. See Hebrews 1:14. God sends them for service or help of believers, and in so serving, the angels function as priestly messengers in the temple universe of God. So that's Charles Ryrie's way of sort of summarizing the way in which they render service to the Lord, as well as to believers. But let's begin with our first question is, how and what do angels do in their ministry in relation to God? I'm going to give you several passages here, and there's going to be four different things that we'll look at. The first is that angels are seen as praising God. You can see this in two passages, Psalm 148, verses 1 and 2, and then probably a passage a little bit more familiar, perhaps, which is in Isaiah 6 and verse 3. Now let's read Isaiah 6, 3. And the setting for that is that the Lord has given and is going to give Isaiah a vision. You'll see the early part of chapter 6 there. But what we'll see is in particular verse 3. So Isaiah 6:3 says, "And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, if you were to look at verse 2, you will see something we'll cover in the future, which is a distinct type of angel. This one is a seraphim, if you see in verse 2. And so they're seen as praising God there in such a wonderful passage there. Now, the next thing we'll see is in regards to that they worship the Lord. And you'll find this in Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 13. There we see where John has been taken up into heaven after the seven letters to the seven churches, and there is praise for God there. So again, Revelation 5, 8 through 13. We also see a passage in the book of Job. I want you to turn with me to Job 38 and verses 6 through 7. This is a fascinating chapter where God now speaks to Job. Basically, what we've had up until this point is Job's friends, or so-called friends, depending on how you look at it, have been giving their opinions and telling Job the reasons for his sufferings. And God has been silent. But in chapter 38, it is God's turn to speak. And of course, he begins to go back to the account of creation and ask a series of questions, rhetorical in many ways. But if you look at Job 38, verses 6 and 7, it says, "On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone?" Of course, this is referring to creation. But you'll notice in verse 7, it says, "When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy." Most interpreters take that to be that the angels, as God was bringing into existence the earth, were shouting for joy, rejoicing in what he had done. Let's look at the fourth and final one. And this one is that they serve him. You'll find this in Psalm 103, verse 20. But then again in Revelation 22, 9. So again, Psalm 103, verse 20, and Revelation 22, 9. Now again, we can learn from this a few things. Similar to what believers should be doing, we should be praising, worshiping, rejoicing at what the Lord does. But of course, last and certainly not least, serving him. But again, it's important to remember these things are distinct, meaning the angels and their activities, they are distinct from humans, but we can learn the lesson from these of such things as praise, worship, rejoicing, and then service to him. Now our next one is going to be, what do angels do in terms of their ministry to the Lord Jesus? Now this one is very fascinating and one of the things that we might not think of in relation to Christ and his ministry, his earthly ministry. I'll give you a few here that show some of the ministry activities in relation to Jesus. The first is they are a part of his birth and the announcing of his birth. We're probably all familiar with these passages. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Again, in Luke 2, 8 through 15, so those are in relation to the birth announcement and his birth. We also see where they minister to the Lord Jesus at a young age, where they guide and protect him. To see this, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2 and begin in verse 13. And here you see where Matthew records several times where the Lord, at his young age, is being protected. This is in the flight to Egypt, if you will, verses 13 through 15. And you'll see where the angels there are involved with helping him. In verse 13, it says, "Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt.'" And then in down in verse 15, and the end of the verse 15, you'll see where there is a quote from Hosea 11:1, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So the angel involved with the protection of baby Jesus, or the child Jesus at that point. You'll also see in verses 16 through 23 a similar type of function here, ministry, in verse 19. It says, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.'" And of course, Joseph and Mary are obedient and do that as well. So there you see the function ministry of the angels was to protect, but also to guide him as well. The next one is they provide care for the Lord. You'll see this in two passages, Matthew 4:11, that is related to the temptation of Christ, and then again in Luke 22:43. These, of course, are similar. The Luke 22:43, we see now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. So similar to after the temptation of Christ that I referenced in Matthew 4:11, here is the Garden of Gethsemane, and there the angel strengthens the Lord. We also see in relation to the resurrection of Christ, you can find this in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 2, and 5 and 6. You'll also see after the resurrection and the 40 days, angels involved there as well. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 1 and verses 10 through 11, this is the passage that describes the ascension of Christ. So at the end of the 40 days, he ascends where he is right now as the great high priest at the Father's right hand. But you'll see that there's a description of two men in white clothing in verse 10. And most interpreters, as I do as well, take these to be two angelic beings. Of course, as we've noticed before, angels are spirit beings, but they do at times take on the form of humans as well. And now for our last passage, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and we'll be looking at verse 31, which is in relation to the second coming of Christ. So again, Matthew 25 and verse 31, the Olivet Discourse. And after Jesus tells the parable of the talents, he says in Matthew 25, 31, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." So again, you'll see in relation to the second coming of Christ, the ministry of the angels as well. So we see within relation to Jesus, their ministry to him during his birth, the early part of his childhood, provide various care there in relation to his resurrection, ascension, as well as the second coming. Next, what do they do in relation to unbelievers? Perhaps said another way, what is their ministry that the Lord has for them to do that relates to unbelievers? Both of them have to do with judgment. The first one is that they are involved at times with announcing judgment. You'll find this in the Old Testament, Genesis 19:13. But you'll also see that they announce judgment in the end of the Bible, so the beginning in Genesis 19:13. But you'll also see in Revelation 14, 6 through 8, but they also are involved with executing judgment, bringing it forth, if you will. And you'll find this in Revelation 16, for example, in verses 1 through 2. This is in relations to the six bowls of wrath, the wrath of God. So notice whenever I read this, it says in Revelation 16, "Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God," speaking, of course, to the seven angels. And then in verse 2, "So the first angel went out and poured out his bowl on the earth." So we see where, in relation to unbelievers, they serve the Lord in terms of ministry and function by announcing and then bringing forth, aiding, if you will, various judgments. Now finally, we're going to look at what and how do they minister to believers. So we've seen God, in terms of God the Father, if you will, specifically to Christ's earthly ministry and to unbelievers. But what about for believers? So again, we see the distinction between humans and angels. What do angels do, though, in terms of believers? And you'll find the first one, and we've covered this verse before, but in Hebrews 1:14, we see where they are to help believers. But I want us to look at this next one in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. So again, Acts 8 and verse 26. Now you're probably familiar with this. This is with Philip and the Ethiopian. And in verse 26, you'll notice, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So there the angel is instructing Philip to go. And if you are familiar with the story, he encounters the Ethiopian. And from there, Philip helps the Ethiopian to understand salvation. And he comes to saving knowledge of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there you can see where the angel is, if you will, bringing and helping to bring someone to salvation. In that case, directing and prompting Philip to do that. Another thing you'll see as well is that they bring answers to prayer. Now, this is something you'll find in the Old Testament as well. But let's look at Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. This is when Peter gets arrested and will be delivered. And you will see where it says in verse 5, "So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God." And then as we go forward there in verse 7, and it says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up and said, 'Get up quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands." Verse 8, "And the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and put on your sandals,' and he did so. And he said to him, 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me.' And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision." So what you see there is that he helped not only bring an answer of prayer, the church had been praying in verse 5, but the angel of the Lord there helped to deliver Peter. Now, let me mention to you just briefly, if you notice verse 7, it says, "an angel of the Lord." This is different than the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, by many commentators, and I generally fall into this camp, which is that the angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. So obviously here that isn't the case, but when you read these passages about angel of the Lord, it's good to make sure that you look at, does it say the angel of the Lord or an angel of the Lord, as is here, meaning it is one of the Lord's angels. So again, you see in this passage where the answers of prayer are brought. But let's look at our last one, and it has to do with encouragement. And you'll find this in Acts 27 and in verses 23 through 24. This is the time in which Paul is being sent to Rome, and there is the shipwreck that occurs. But you'll notice in verses 23 and 24 of Acts 27, "For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you.'" So what you see here is that the angel of the Lord appears before Paul and encourages him to not be afraid, and of course that the Lord is there with him. This causes Paul, if you notice in verse 25, to tell some of the others, "Therefore keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." So Paul there clearly believing the message that he received, and as you'll notice again in verse 23, "from an angel of the Lord." Well, so in this one, we can see very clearly that some of the ministry to the believers are things such as helping believers, helping bring others to salvation, encouraging others. So again, humans being distinct from angels, but some things that we can learn from their ministry to others as well. Well, this concludes today's episode. Be sure to tune in next time and in our next episode as we continue to study angelology, the doctrine of angels. Until then, God bless.